you for the Tomiko Cheltenham Gold Cup. Special Tiara wins the Queen Mother Championship at the fourth attempt.
One for Arthur, it's holding on, brilliant, and it's one for Scotland.
This is the race that I've always wanted to win. This is the race that's in my heart.
One flight to go, Noel Feely can wait no more.
This is Love the Jumps Extra from the Jockey Club.
Hello, it's Abby from Love the Jumps, and welcome to Love the Jumps Extra. This week in the main podcast, we had Sam Twiston-Davies. Here is the longer version of his interview as he talks to Rupert Bell about his brother's retirement, his impending return from injury, and what the future holds for them both.
Well, Sam, thank you very much for joining us on this Love the Jumps podcast. How frustrating has it been? You jockeys don't like being on the sidelines, but you know it's sort of par for the course, isn't it? It goes with the territory.
Yeah, it does happen. You think you kind of can get used to it. I missed this time last year, and I thought I'd be better at dealing with it. If anything, I was worse, probably been a worse patient for mum and such this time for sitting down watching the racing. But as ever in life, you learn, you move on, and these things do happen in racing. Very lucky to still be going back to, obviously, three very good jobs in Paul's dad's and Dr. Newland. So it's a lot to be looking forward to in the coming months, all the same.
And obviously it is, I mean, you, with your brother, has it been an emotional time when he had to pull the plug on his career because of what happened earlier this year?
Yeah, his back was giving him a lot of chip, and he's done very well. He worked very hard to get past back fit, and he's originally going to ride in some bumpers. But as ever in life, there's so many other variables. Willie's one really, really true love is flat racing, and when you're not able to do it because of you've put on a lot of weight, a lot of muscle, and you're generally very fit, but you still find yourself in the 10 stones, it's going to be very, very hard to get back down to that. So Willie's taken the view of retiring, and we wish him a lot of luck, because in the day he's very keen on his bloodstock and the training side of things. So fingers crossed he can go out, learn and visit the world and come back with a few stories for us.
And for you, here you are, Paul Nicholls obviously as the main job. Does that come with, I mean, lots of people had the job. How much, and particularly with it being in transition, he always talks about the transition. Is that exciting?
Yeah, it is. It's actually very exciting at the minute. We've a lot of young horses down there. We're still out there just trying to find that one champion again. And fingers crossed it will come along, because he spends a lot of time looking through a lot of these Irish point-to-point form, the French form, looking at every angle to try and find them. So fingers crossed, going to have a little bit of luck soon. And it's the same with the jockeys, really. You have that Ditchett Academy down there now to help all the young lads. I mean, we've some lads that haven't even finished school yet, and they're already getting taught how to speak to owners, how to be confident in their outlook going out to the races and such. So it's not just the horses that are getting a real good, strong education early, it's the jockeys as well. So it's a very healthy competition for me, and it just almost spurs you on even more now to come back fitter, healthier, better than when you left.
And you're 25, but when I was thinking 25, I think, no, he can't be 25. He's been around much longer than that. I mean, here we are talking in your dad's yard. I mean, schooling wasn't really for you, was it? Nipping off to Boughton on the Water at school, not really ever going to be serious.
No, I never did very well. I actually stayed for my first year of my AS levels, and then they suggested that it might be an idea if I pursued other ideas. So luckily I turned professional the year after, and luckily it went really smoothly, and ridden a lot of winners since. I had a lot of fun, a lot of good times, and just keep working hard to keep improving. At the end of the day, you're never the complete jockey, and just trying to keep getting better with every ride, really.
Your dad, how much an influence has he been in getting you to ride to the level you have?
Yeah, the team here is massive, and a lot of jockeys talk about that, but me and Willie are brought up having breakfast with Carl Llewellyn, Tony Evans, Peter Scudamore lived in the house that Dad now lives in. So you're spending a lot of time with a lot of very, very clever people, and a lot of people that have ridden a lot of winners. So we had an outstanding, a great, great upbringing in and around the horses, and a good, hopefully, understanding of horses. And I guess that's where the real passion comes from, is the fact that there's a great team here, and it starts off with Mum and Dad, and then obviously filtered down to Carl and such, and got Jim Old here as well. So there's so many people where you can talk to about racing, and if you're ever not sure about something, there's a lot of good opinions around.
What is about your riding style? What have you learnt most? What's your key thing you take into a race?
I think I'd look at a race with a lot of depth. try and work out maybe what, more so maybe what I want to follow, what's going to take me to a certain point in the race. Then I think it's actually when you ride for the people you ride for, is having good, real strong confidence in the horses you're riding. And you can get off knowing the fact that if you haven't given one of the best rides or you made a bit of a mistake, that you can come in, say it wholeheartedly, and you'll go out and won't make that mistake again.
Have you ever got off a horse and, you know, people, obviously Carl Winning plays golf. He, I don't know when he hits a good, perfect golf shot, but golfers talk about all the tennis players hit the perfect shot. I don't know. Have you ever got off a horse and thought, I think I've just ridden the perfect race?
It's not, well, it never really happens, but at the same time, you do get some amazing thrills. One of my most favourite ever winners was Hello Bud, because he won at the Beecher when he was 14. I suppose he couldn't win it. He was too old, he was too this, he was too that. He'd run terrible at Cartmel in the summer. And that's really the biggest thrill I've ever got was just from that, just because there were so many that said he couldn't, and he was too old, and he was this, and he was that, and obviously having ridden him out a lot at home, and he still lives here now. That was just a day I'll truly never ever forget, and she made nearly most of the running, and that was a real buzz.
When it does happen, you know all the hard yards, isn't it? Because when you get those really special moments, and that was, you know, that was a big day in your sort of evolution as a jockey as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it. It was my... I was just getting going. I was riding a lot more for Dad, and Hello Bud and Little Josh actually both won he won the Beecher, and then Little Josh went on to win the Sefton the same day. So that was like, just I remember driving home that evening, and it was just the most unbelievable buzz. And I'll never ever forget it. Look back now and just think, what a special day that was. And it's just so nice to do it with obviously everyone here, and I was very lucky to kind of get the opportunities that it did.
It's a very happy team. But do you get a rollicking ever?
Oh, he's not. Trust me. Paul is definitely never afraid to tell you if he thinks you've done wrong. And Dad's exactly the same. Dr. Newland is very good to ride for, very understanding. And then you've got Dad, if he thinks you've done something wrong. For example, there was a bump horse in the summer. He was watching with Willie and ended up a bit far back. So that you ring them straight after, and he's like, well, and then you tell your story. And he's like, no. And then he proceeds to tell you what he did wrong. And I was, to be fair, I agreed with him, but I just didn't want to say it myself.
But you've always got to learn. But when you look around and here you are at 25, and you think Richard Johnson and some of these jockeys now are still doing it late 30s, the sport has changed. The fact that, you know, when back in the day, people would tend to retire when they got to 30. Can you see yourself doing it if you can remain relatively injury-free in 10, 15 years' time?
Oh, most definitely. The support we get is fantastic. The Injured Jockeys Fund, the Oaksey House, Jack Berry House, I mean, they're phenomenal places, and the people they employ know a lot about racing, very intelligent, and they can help you maintain yourself, whether it be a nutritionist to your mental health. There's so many different options out there for you to explore, and even then when you do maybe fall out of love with the racing, they have Jets, which helps you like train, learn, and there's so many opportunities when you're in this game. We're very, very lucky.
Do you feel an obligation to promote? I mean, it's very hard, you know, it's an all-consuming lifestyle. Do you see the importance of making sure racing, that you can leave a legacy by giving, somehow promoting yourself?
Yeah, well, racing is something I've a true love for, and it's something that one day I want to look back in the future and think, like, yeah, I'd love to say I inspired someone or help someone along the way, whether it be coaching jockeys and speaking to lots of young people. We'll try and do how we can and see how we get on.
And I noticed that Giacomo, yeah. I thought that was for very big people. How did that come about?
Yes, so when they brought out their small range, I guess the obvious person to look at was a jockey, so... And they asked me if I minded and took it. I wasn't racing one day, so they came down with all their crew and tried on a few various outfits and did some photos for them. It was very entertaining and something that was a little bit uncomfortable for me, because used to just going racing, getting on a horse and doing that. So it was obviously a little bit different, but all the same, it was a good experience. And I won't be giving up the day job anyway.
Well, given that your friend is Chris Hughes, who is a bit of a male model, did he give you any advice?
Yeah, that was actually before Love Island. That was in the summer, but even then he'd been doing a bit of modelling before. So it's... the whole thing was mad, and I now know how he feels when he's obviously go off and do all those various different things, because it really is quite mad.
But for you though, what would be, I mean, you've achieved a lot already, But there are obviously big races that you want to win. How hungry are you?
Oh, as ever. I think it's more so when you're sat on the sidelines. You watch everything. You analyse every race. You try and work out when you do get to ride those horses next time, how you can eke out that little bit more, do that something that somebody hasn't done. And I think when you're in and around people like Paul Nichols, like Dad, like Dr. Noon, who just, they so want to win, it's hard not to be as obsessed with winning. And that's the thing, is you go out every season, I always try and set the target of 100 winners. And then when you get there, you don't sit on your hands and go, right, that's done. You then thrive for the 150, or try and do whatever you can to ride as many big winners or as many winners as you can.
How do you switch off then?
One thing I try and do is, I'm a big lover of films. Yeah, one way I think of switching off, especially when you've had a bad day, if you sit down and you've a good film in front of you, you don't think about anything bar what's in front of you. I think that's the one way I can truly switch off. I'm not a particularly, as Willie will tell you, I've been off, I'm not a particularly strong drinker. It's definitely an area that you do try and let your hair down. You go to the Cheltenhams, the Ascots and stuff when you're a long way off coming back, because it is good to see the other side of the game. So hang out with some of the owners, go out for the nights out and meet the younger racing enthusiasts and go out to. But I'm not very good at it, so I get back to riding all day.
So are you not, if things are going, if you've had a bad day, you bad company, do you take your work home, or as you say, do you have to say, right, I've got to find a film to watch or a box set or something?
That's it. I'd get back and I'd literally go straight up, grab some food. Mum's are very understanding, go upstairs, switch on a film, and she wouldn't talk to anyone for an hour, and then I'd be fine and I'd snap out of it. But as racing and everything, when it means as much to you as it does kind of sit on you for a little bit, but then you actually remember how lucky we are to be doing something you love doing every day of the week. It's quite, you do feel a little, you sit back in the chair and actually think, God, you're being a little bit of a child about this, you need to actually grow up. But
I'd have loved the idea of the conversation of you going to Dad and saying, I actually want to go and work in the city.
Yeah. God, can you imagine that? I should be kicked so far out of here. I know how much he dislikes, well, not dislikes going to London, but how much he struggles with it. So if I said, you want to come visit out me in London or something, God, it wouldn't go down well.
So this season, obviously hoping for a comeback within the next, before Christmas. What horses are you just thinking, I can't wait to get back on now?
There's one, Bally Optic. You're probably watching Newbury the other day. And he'd beaten the Tizard horse Exeter with great ease. And he's gone forward and won a Grade 2 novice chase. But he's now going to Kempton Boxing Day. And that's something, a ride I'm really, really looking forward to. I think he's a proper horse. And obviously, Paul's got lots of good ones around. He's got Capitaines that are very good. We've still got Frodon, who's still running these tremendous races, even though he's on a career high. And we've got a lot of young horses down in Paul's who look like they're ready to win. And that's what's very exciting, you know, just the young horses coming through. And we've got a really enthusiastic team of owners. And fingers crossed that there's a nice group down there to move forward with.
And if you won the Grand National, do you have a celebration in mind? Could you do a flying dismount? What would it be? Just thinking, wow.
Oh God, so you couldn't ever plan to win a national. I remember the buzz I got my first year finishing fifth. So God knows what I'd do if I won, but it'd be a dream come true. And we'll try and work hard. And we've got a nice team of horses down at Pools and here actually for the race. So I think Binge Drinker is one of Pools, hopefully leading lights moving forward. So fingers crossed he gets there injury free and in good nick.
Sam, enjoy the rest of the season.
This is Love the Jumps Extra, brought to you by the Jockey Club, putting all profits back into British racing.